Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Father, would you be with us now? And we thank you for your love and your grace and your goodness to us. And we just pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, we can be encouraged by all that. And we ask that in Jesus' name. I reckon as humans, as people here this morning, we all have similar traits. Look, I look down here this morning, I see that everybody here has two arms and two legs, yeah, two ears, two eyes. And I just praise God that he had wisdom in giving people one mouth. And you know exactly what I mean. Imagine people if they had two mouths talking and raving on. But I reckon as humans, we really do have similar traits. And if you're like me, you'll often lay in bed of a night and your mind will be going crazy with all sorts of things. It'll be a little bit like a whirlwind. It's like a clothes dryer going round and round. There's a jungle in there. And it can be any number of things. It might be money. It might be finances. It might be family dramas. It could be health issues. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. It can be any manner of things. And today, I believe the book that reflects our time on planet Earth is the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, before I became a Christian, I'd never heard of the word Ecclesiastes. Imagine this week if you took some of your secular friends out to have a coffee or were down the street with them and you started to talk to them and they started to tell you that they were reading certain books. They were reading The New Idea or a Mills and Boone or a romantic novel or the Just Cars book or whatever. And then you popped up and said, well, I am reading the book of Ecclesiastes. I reckon they might think that you were from Mars or from another planet. But as I did my research on this book, I see that it is a very different type of book. And maybe as I read and I studied the chapters, it really made me think about life, our time, and about us laying in bed wondering what it's all about. The book, they believe, was written by a king in Jerusalem, and most commentaries say that it was written by Solomon, one of the wisest men of that time period. And Solomon's wisdom also comes out as a teacher in the book of Proverbs. In my commentaries, it states that Solomon wrote these writings, and this is very important to know, at the end of his life, when he'd experienced all avenues and all situations about life and time. He in his own life had sinned, and as an older person had repented of his ways and recommitted his life back to God. We also see from further study, the author of this book had everything possible that you could have in life. He had all the riches. He had all the pleasures. He had all the status. He was a famous man, met with world leaders. He was a man of status. So if we were to put those credentials on somebody today, maybe if we just say in the secular, maybe if we put those credentials on Elon Musk or Warren Buffett, I'd say today we'd either idolize those people or we would envy people like that. So with all that, how does the wisest man who had everything and experienced all life situations on planet Earth start his book off? I'd say it started like this. Hey, look at me. I have all the riches. I have all the experiences. I've had many pleasures. I've met with dignities, and I'm a famous person. I've made it to the top of the hill. Look at me. I am king of the mountain. So the words of Solomon, king of Jerusalem's first words state, in the Hebrew it says, Hevel, Hevel, life is nothing but smoke and vapor. NIV, as we just read, meaningless, meaningless. Life is absolutely meaningless. In the Good News, useless, useless. Life is useless. And in chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, he goes through those famous lines that we all know that depicts the seasons of our lives and our time here on earth. And we've all heard them before. A time to be born, a time to die, a time of war, a time of peace, a time to cry, and a time to laugh. All going through our timelines on planet Earth. Actually, I love the 70s. I love the 70s music. And there was a group out in the 70s called The Byrds. Does anybody ever remember The Byrds? And they had a song out called Turn, Turn, Turn. And it's all about this particular book. Solomon also talks about generations. And he's got this little cliche that was at the finish of that Bible reading, which states, life is like chasing after the wind. It's an interesting book in itself, because it does make you think all about what life and time are about. You know, I am really guilty of doing a bad thing when I preach. And what I do, we read a few verses and I try to bring the whole book out in that verse, like as I'm doing this morning. So please forgive me for that. But one good thing out of that is that we can all go home and we can all do our homework on the book. Maybe I'll just run through a few chapters really quickly so that we can just sort of check it out a little bit. Chapter 1, the author talks about the emptiness and the futility of life. Generations are going to come. Isn't this so true? Generations are going to come and generations are going to go. The circle of nature and history are constantly, all the time, repeating themselves. Really, if we really think about it, there's nothing new. Even the search for man's highest goal is absolutely futile. For the more man knows, the more he has to suffer. What an introduction for our lives as we lay in bed. Chapter 2. What is man to do with his days? We live for pleasure, wealth, status, and still, after all that achievement, our life is empty. Solomon experienced all these things in his life. He experienced them personally. Solomon states, wisdom is far still better than folly. But in the end, and this is so true, Death makes fools of us all. You know, we can work hard, we can store up, have all this stuff in our life, and then somebody can come along and just waste what we've done. We went through chapter 3 a little bit before with all the seasons, and later I'll pick a verse out that I believe is the key to this sermon this morning. There's some real encouragement in chapter 4 where Solomon states, such are the oppressions and the difficulties in life that man is better still never to be born. We're getting encouraged this morning. Are we getting excited about this book? Another chapter 6, more of the same, Solomon states, what value is a long life to man? Better to be a stillborn or be miscarried. Wow. He states, the man who is ruled by his appetites and desires will never be satisfied. Chapter 8, faith cannot resolve the problem of evil. Good men get what bad men deserve. And we've just got to turn on the news of a night time to see innocent people suffering in the world. Chapter 9, a very important chapter, where he says, one fate comes to all. It doesn't matter if you're men, women, or animals, and that fate is death. Chapter 10 goes on with a collection of proverbs and wisdom and folly, wise sayings and practical advice. Wow, what a book. Let me say this. There's passages in this book that are very, very much like proverbs, very much like psalms. There's some gladness, there's some joy, there's appreciation of work, there's appreciation of family and life. Parts of the book also are about judgment. And as said before, the same fate awaits us all, whether we are animals or humans. One day, every one of us is going to turn back to dust. So there is so much to ponder on this book in Ecclesiastes. And I'm just giving you a brief account of as I've done my study. And you could bring another 1,000 sermons out of this particular book. So one thing personally we can conclude, and this is definitely not the conclusion. Maybe me and you are not like Solomon in many ways. You know, maybe we're not the richest person on the planet. Maybe we're not so wise. Maybe we haven't got the status we want, and we're definitely not famous. And maybe today, and even tonight when we lay in bed, when all these crazy thoughts are going round in our head, if we're honest with ourselves, we're saying life is a vapor. Life is useless. Life is absolutely meaningless. And we are like everybody else. We are chasing after the wind. I know I have, and I'm sure that you have at times. We chase after things. We chase after titles. And we chase after things that are absolutely useless. But if Solomon had all these things, and it was all vanity, what hope? What hope do we have? But God has not deserted us. Like I said before, the key is in chapter 3, verse 11, where it states, and this passage is just after the seasons of our life, a time to be born, a time to die, etc. Ecclesiastes 3:11 states, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Out of one of my commentaries, it explains it like this. Eternity in their hearts refers to a deep-seated compulsive drive to transcend our mortality by knowing the meaning and destiny of this world, because me and you are made in the image of God. We have this inborn inquisitiveness about eternal realities. We can find peace only when we come to know our eternal creator. And we don't have to look far in the world to see this. Every civilization from the time of dawn, every race, every people group have their own gods. There's something inside of us that tells us that there is something else. So with that key of what God has put on our hearts, one thing this morning that we can derive, and this is a big thing for all of us, we derive that we have hope. and it's hope beyond the grave, and it's a hope for eternity. So here in the book, we have more or less 11 chapters on hopelessness, uselessness, vanity, vapor and smoke, with the key in verse 3, verse 11, eternity in our hearts. And in chapter 12, verse 13, there's a conclusion for what our purpose is in being here on this earth. And we've got to do it God's way. And God's way is chapter 12, verse 13, fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think as Solomon laid in bed thinking about life and time, he had this incredible wisdom from God to honestly see that life apart from God is not worth living. It is just like chasing after the wind. And I don't know about you, but we have a temporary life, maybe 70 or 80 years. I don't know, over here in Area Park, everybody seems to live to 100, which is incredible. So we might have to move over here, I think. But usually in life, we have 70 to 80 years, and we'll try to fill that time with all sorts of things. We will try to fill that time with things like chasing after the wind. We live thousands of years later in a world of technology and devices and more advancement than any other time in history. But you know what? We all still lay in bed and wander. Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and it's all about Jesus. And for us, on the other side of the cross, our answer is completely still the same. Fear God and put our faith in a Saviour that he's provided for us called Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:13 states, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and the Son of God is our only hope, that you may know that you have eternal life. That vacuum can be filled. The promise of God is the secret of a content heart for eternity. Solomon is saying in his conclusion, hey, don't waste your time on things that won't satisfy. Start putting God first, because that's where me and you, if we're believers in Christ, will spend eternity. Sure, seasons will come and seasons will go. I sort of put Solomon's wisdom to the test the other day. There were several people making conversation at a junior football match the other day. I was there with my grandkids, and I listened to the conversation, and everybody was trying to get their points across, as we do. There was some trivial talk. There were some people boasting, a bit of gossip, some people trying to impress. And as I left, it made me really think about Ecclesiastes. There's really nothing new. Everyone in that group will most probably be there the week after and pretty much say the same thing. And nobody's going to be listening to them anyway. And it just made me think of 30 years ago when I was a soccer coach and we were sitting there, and now we're grandparents and nothing has changed. I believe Solomon really has summed it up. Life and time are a vapor and are useless without God. You know, mate, me and Vicky went to the Lawn Cemetery there the other day, and we started to visit some of our departed family, and I know that we've all got departed families, and I don't want to touch on any little points here this morning. And as we walked around, I noticed many people in the Wagga area that I didn't know, but they had left us. The strange and sad thing was that I noticed that life can be cut so short. Our number really is like a lottery. There were young ones, middle-aged ones, there's very old ones. And really and honestly, we can be gone in the blink of an eye. And it really made me think, and this is a little bit personal this morning, it really made me think about the little time that I have left and maybe that you've got left, and what God has got for us and what we can do. Are we going to take the opportunities when they come around? I'm changing direction a little bit here this morning, and we haven't got too long to go. I know it's a bit warm, but I've always admired and liked the book of James, being Jesus's brother. At first, when I used to read and study James, I used to think that this guy is so strict. But being around Jesus most of his life, being so close, maybe he's got some answers for us. He now later in his life really wanted to imitate, I suppose, the attributes that he had learned from Jesus himself. James really spells it out in practical living for us as believing Christians. Things that we don't like to hear, like our tongue, favoritism, don't treat others badly. There's got to be deeds with our faith, submission. But there was one verse, and I'm sure that you know this verse very well, that really touched me. And it offers a glimpse of what Solomon is saying. And it is such a powerful voice for all of us here this morning. How can we be truly seeking God's heart? And it is exactly the same way as in Solomon's time. Love God and love others. James chapter 1, verse 27, I'm sure you know it. You most probably know it off by heart. It says, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So instead of our focus being on ourselves as we lay in bed, let's, like Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, get our minds renewed and structured on God and others. So two things maybe we can take away from this little lesson this morning, two things that we've learned from God's word, that we have this beautiful hope, and that hope is for eternity. And the second one is that we, every one of us here, me included, we have a purpose, and that is to love God and to love others. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you so much for Jesus, Lord, our only hope. We thank you, Lord, that we know him personally. We thank you, Lord, that he is our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that he is our King. Lord, we pray as we leave this place today, Lord, we might have a fresh new spirit in us to go out and to be Jesus to other people, really thinking about what our commission is, and our commission is to love on people so that we can bring them closer to the hope that we have. And we ask that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.